in the ministry or preaching, and he stood up before his audience one day and said, "Before I speak to you today, I want to say a few words." Well, we're thankful to be here. I hope I didn't deprive my beloved brother Naismith of the time he could have used to profit this morning. We came to Greenwood Hills again, looking forward to seeing our dear friends, our, I won't say old friends, our lifelong friends we've known for years, and to enjoy the luxury of being a listener. But we're thankful, we appreciate being invited to share in the ministry today. I'm sure we've enjoyed very happy weeks together, days of heaven upon earth, enjoying fellowship together and the rich ministry of the Word. I was saved in 1923, that's almost 70 years ago, and through these years we have heard the occasional message on Elijah and so on, but as far as myself is concerned, never have had a consecutive study as we've enjoyed this week on the life and the character and life and the ministry of Elijah. We shall long remember it. We've had rich, wholesome, instructive ministry, and we deeply appreciate it, and that's very sincere. Now, we'll try and be careful and consider the time as our brethren have been. I enjoy reading biographies. I've just finished another biography of Mr. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, and he was in the habit of training and teaching young men as they were going out to preach, and he would tell them this: "Now, when you go out to preach, remember the three B's when you stand up to preach. Be simple and be sincere and be seated." Three-fold advice for preachers, so we'll try and be considerate this morning. Let us turn now to the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Genesis, chapter 22. And verse 3. Genesis 22 and 3. "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up," notice the next word, "and went into the place of which God had told him." Notice verse 6. "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went." There's the word again, "they went," both of them together. Now, verse 8. "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. And they went," both of them together. Three times they went. Chapter 24, please. Chapter 24 and verse 62. You will notice a very interesting contrast as I read these words. Genesis 24 and verse 62, "And Isaac came." In chapter 22, he went. In chapter 24, he came. "And Isaac came from the way of the well Ahi Roi," that is, "the well of him that liveth and seeth, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming." Notice the next verse. "And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw," in verse 63, "Isaac saw," in verse 64, "Rebekah saw," those eyes met when Rebekah's journey was over, and she was to meet her bridegroom. She laid it off the camel. Verse 65, "For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet me? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother's, Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." In chapter 22, Isaac went. In chapter 24, Isaac came. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, and finally he went home to glory, glory of the cross. In Luke 22, "Where either the Son of Man goeth, he went." The last sight wicked men had of Christ was when he was nailed upon Golgotha's tree, silent, in his holy, unparalleled agony. They gazed upon him with scorn and derision, giving to him the whole bunch of mockery, shall we say, as they gathered around that cross. And with hellish glee, goes over his agonizing death. That was the last sight wicked men had of Christ when he's dying as a victim and yet as our Savior upon the tree. The last sight his own disciples had of Christ was on the mountain. The Lord led them out as far as to Bethany, lifted up his hands in blessing, and was carried up into heaven. And Acts chapter 1, we're told the same Jesus shall so come in like manner. They saw him go, and so they shall see him come. And so in chapter 22, they went both of them together, and Abraham bound Isaac, his son, on the altar and upon the wood, while Isaac was spared from death. Yet figuratively, he really passed through death, for Hebrews tells us, Abraham received his son as one who had died back from the dead in resurrection. And now we find that Isaac came here in chapter 24 by the way of the well Ahai Roi, the well of him that liveth and seeth, and there was a grand meeting when Isaac met his bride. And so the next sight which the bride will have of Christ is when he comes, and he's coming back. And he's coming very quickly. We've been told by some he's coming on October 28th. Well, I hope that's true, but we can't set dates, can we? He may come before that, but he's coming very, very soon. And we're looking forward to that sight of sight when he shall come, and we shall see him face to face. The Lord shall descend. The cry will be, behold, the bridegroom cometh, and the bride and the bridegroom will meet. The end of the journey in chapter 24 was the best part for Rebekah, and shall I say the best part for Isaac. So heaven, like Lehi Roi, where Isaac dwelt, is the land of living. People speak of this world as the land of living. That's wrong. It's just the opposite. This is the land of the dying. But heaven is the land of the living, and God shall be the God of the living for all eternity. We're in that land where we shall never die. Someone has said heaven is a tireless country, a tearless country, a timeless country, and a tombless country. Some of us have necessity have had to make a few trips to the grave of late, but no trips to the grave in heaven, no graves there, no death in the land of the living, and that's our portion for eternity. But it's the land of seeing. And here in chapter 24, Isaac saw and Rebekah saw, and we sometimes sing, how shall I meet those eyes? Mine and himself I'll cast, knowing myself as his own prize, mercy from first to last. What a sight that will be. A recompensing sight, a glorious sight. David said, I shall behold thy face, shall behold thy face. The last promise in Revelation chapter 22 is, they shall see his face. Looking forward to see that blessed face of our Savior face to face. Shall I behold him far beyond the starry sky, face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. What a sight that will be when we see Christ. Many years ago, I attended a conference in the city of Detroit, Michigan, and enjoyed the ministry at that time. Being young, we very rarely took part in conferences, but a Mr. Murdo McKenzie spoke one day. He labored in the Lord in the Bahamas for several years. I spent some time with Brother McKenzie in the Bahamas. He came originally from Dr. Naismith's home country, the north of Scotland. And in his message, he told us a story I have never forgotten. Many years ago, a young couple living in the Ukraine became engaged to be married, but on second thought, the bridegroom-to-be thought he'd go over to Canada, and he was offered some land and get the homestead and build a farm and then send for his bride, his beloved wife. The parting was very sad, as they said goodbye to each other, but looked forward with anticipation to the glorious meeting. There was the long journey by rail to the coast, and then the voyage of several weeks, the long, tiring voyage, and this dear young lady took by herself when she got the word from her husband-to-be to come. And she left her loved ones and went to meet her beloved bridegroom, her husband-to-be. So there was the long journey by rail, very tiring journey for this young lady, very wearisome, and then the voyage across the ocean, and then the journey by rail through Canada. But as she neared the destination, her heart began to beat faster. But this is what I want to say. The passengers with her noticed a very strange thing. She carried a bundle or a box under her arm, and she never seemed to be without that. They saw her at daytime, they saw her at nighttime. She always had that bundle under her arm. And they wondered with curiosity what was in that bundle. Finally, the train began to slow down, and she heard the station announce, this is it. This is my destination, and now the meeting with my beloved. She left the train with others, and she looked through the crowd waiting for the arrivals, and she saw her bridegroom's face. What happened? She dropped the bundle for the first time. What was in the bundle? It was her bridal gown, but she'd seen her bridegroom's face. I love that glorious hymn, the bright eyes, not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze on glory, but on the King of grace, not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. What a recompense. They shall see his face. We shall see him. We shall be like him for eternity. And so, it was a glorious meeting. Isaac saw and Rebekah saw. So it was the land of the living, and Lehi Roy was the land of the seeing. But furthermore, it was the land of sunshine. Isaac dwelt in the south country, not in the north country with the winter blasts. Not in the chilly north, in the south country, we sing of heaven as the summer land up yonder. The land of calm, balmy breezes. And so we sing of the summer land up yonder. And we sing then life's wild wintry blasts soon shall be overpassed. I shall see Christ at last. Heaven is my home. No wintry blasts in glory. Some of God's your people today are getting the wintry blast, aren't they? The wintry blast of sorrow and separation. But even missing that, but in heaven it's the summer land. No wintry blast up there. And so Isaac dwelt in the south country, and heaven will be the land of sunshine. It was the land of unloosing. When Rebecca saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. She'd had enough of camel sickness. I've been told that camel sickness can be worse than seasickness. I don't know, but I've been told that at least. And going through the desert, she rode in the camel. It was a rough journey. She'd had enough of that desert journey. And the moment of unloosing and freedom had come, and the longing of her heart was attained. She saw Isaac, and she loved him, and he loved her. She bid farewell to the camel and the desert, and welcomed the bridegroom. The weariness was over, and she was brought into the tent. So this meeting at Lehi Roi was the place of revelation. Isaac saw her, and she saw him, and those eyes met, and we shall have that blessed experience. We shall see him face to face. What a blessed hope. Yes, it was a place of reception, and Isaac met her and received her and brought her into his tent. In John 14, the Lord says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I'm told, at least I found out from a little study, that the word received in that portion in John 14 is the word paralambana, occurs several times in John's Gospel. It is very intimate receiving. It was used often at a wedding when the bridegroom embraced his bride. Mr. Godet, in his able commentary, says it could be literally translated, I will press you, I will receive you, I will press you to my heart. Some of us have traveled extensively for years. Some as well said preachers aren't homeless, but very often they're homeless. And arrive home, there's a reception, the glorious reception. Away in traveling, we have the handshake, welcome, glad to see you. When we get home, there's no handshake, welcome, that wouldn't be worth going home for. It's a pressing to the heart. I will receive you, paralambano. I will receive you unto myself. And Isaac received Rebecca unto himself. It was a place of revelation they saw. It was a place of reception he received her. It was a place of release. The difficulties of the wilderness journey were past, and someday, beloved friends, the difficulties will all be gone. We'll shake the sands of the desert from our feet. We'll leave the camel, if you will. The wilderness will be past. We shall reach home at last. Heaven is our home, the place of revelation. Yes, the place of reception, the place of release, and the place of rest. Oh, how sweet that rest will be. Heaven will be a place of eternal rest, and so that's Lehi Roi. But we are only in the land of the sunshine, and land of the vision, and the land of the unloosing, but the land of the loving, as Isaac loved her. Oh, we'll know that love in its full ocean. We'll bathe in its full ocean for all eternity. The love of Christ shall ravish our hearts and our souls for all eternity. The land of the loving. And we sing about having no parting shall ever be known in that happy and heavenly shore. And though seated with Christ in the throne, go out from presence no more, the place of reception. Receive to go out no more. And to enjoy the love of Christ. And then we realize it was comforted. It's a place of rejoicing as well. The place of revelation. And the place of reception, and the place of release, and the place of reward. Rebecca was well rewarded after the journey. Just one glimpse of Christ in glory will the toils of life repay. Some of you knew dear brother Paul Plubel, who was called home to heaven at the age of 38. We spent 10 years together in the gospel, including our trip to Great Britain, and the Lord blessed our time together. But Paul was taken home to heaven at the age of 38. And he was in a hospital in Neptune, New Jersey, right beside where the Wilsons lived. I was with him day and night for a few days before his heart surgery, not open heart surgery then, but heart surgery. The night before surgery, your brother Paul said to me, Gordon, will you sing with me? I said, I'll try, Paul, though it was hard to sing. We did more weeping than singing. What would you like to sing, Paul? We heard that hymn in Scotland for the first time. It will be worth it all when I see Jesus. And as best we could, we sang that hymn together. Dear Paul almost literally laid down his life for the gospel's sake. a matter of 72 hours, he was with the Lord. It will birth it all when I see Jesus. Just one glimpse of Christ in glory will make up for all the sorrows and trials of the wilderness. The rough passes through the desert. It will all be passed. We'll be at home with the Lord. So, Lehi Roy, the place of the living, the place of the seeing, the place of sunshine, the land of loving, and the land of dwelling with Christ. Forevermore you shall dwell with him. The journey passed. He shall be satisfied, I shall be satisfied. I came across these words the other day. Rather than trust my memory, I'll read them. He shall be satisfied. When all he died to win, by loving kindness gently drawn, are safely gathered in. When in the glory bright, he views his glorious bride. Sees the travel of his soul, he shall be satisfied. Isaiah 53. Psalm 79, I shall be satisfied, but not while here below. Where every earthly cup of bliss is rightly mixed with woe, when its frail form shall be forever laid aside, and his likeness I awake, I shall be satisfied. He shall be satisfied, I shall be satisfied. Just in closing, I look forward to heaven. Many years ago, a party of tourists were traveling through northern Italy. This particular day, they came across a very, very beautiful, well-known castle, and they met the gardener who was taking care of the castle, particularly the gardens, the grounds around the castle, and a conversation ensued about that beautiful garden. When did you see the owner last? Well, he said, I haven't seen the owner of this castle for about 10 or 12 years. Well, from whom do you get your orders? He said, from his agent in Milan. When did you see him last? Oh, about 2 years ago. Said one of the men in the party of tourists, sir, he said, you keep this place, this garden, as though you expected your master tomorrow. He said, today, sir, today. He may come today. The journey over, the rough wilderness past, and all that sight, to see him face to face. We long to see him, don't we? A recompensing sight. See him face to face in all his likeness wear, in all his ways of endless grace, of matchless grace, for endless years declared. The Lord, bless the word to our hearts. We can sing in reality, heaven is my fatherland. Heaven is my home. Thank you. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee again for the message we have heard as to Elijah and Obadiah, these practical truths that have been so precious to us during these days together here in Greenwood Hills. We have greatly enjoyed such ministry. It's been very instructive and it has caused us to thank thee for thy goodness and for thy precious word. We shall long remember these messages, and we trust we shall profit by them, not only be hearers of the word, but doers only. We thank thee for the sweet and precious fellowship we've enjoyed together here at the Colorama again, truly, in reality, days of heaven upon earth, where we meet with those we've known and loved for many years, a foretaste of that soon coming meeting in glory. We shall meet never more to part, for we'll never say goodbye in heaven. But best of all, our God, we shall meet our Savior. And we'll see him face to face. Face to face shall I behold him. We sing far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory. I shall see him by and by. What a sight that will be. We shall see his face. And we'll be with him and like him. And the glad reunion throughout the ages of eternity. In the meantime, our God, keep us going on. Keep us cleaving to thyself and still believing to the... We receive the promised joys in heaven, we pray, and guide us along the journey until we meet again, either here in this precious place, or better far in the glory, that land of endless day, the land of the living, the land of the seeing, when all shall be plain, the summer land above, but the land of companionship with Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Part us now with thy blessing, our God, watch over us, till we meet again in this room for further ministry, and receive our grateful thanks for thy goodness to us throughout this week, in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.